Welcome back to Looking Above. We are so glad you've joined us here again this week. We're nearing the end of our season on prayer. My name is Karen, and this is Brooklyn. And today we are going to discuss the prayer of the forsaken.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's exactly what just went in my head. Yes, it does. It sounds ominous. So maybe we should start with prayer.
Yes, sounds good.
Heavenly Father, we just praise you and bless you. God, you are holy, and we just come before you in awe of your goodness and your grace, your mercy for us. God, we thank you that we know these things, and that even in these seasons of darkness and quiet and what may feel so barren and so isolated, Lord, we know that you are with us and we know that you are working. And we pray that as we talk about this prayer of the forsaken today, Lord, that you would just speak truth to our hearts, that you would guide our conversation, that you would help us in all things always to point back to you. Help us to look above, God, what we can see. Help us to look above the darkness and the emptiness, and help us to set our eyes on you and on the truth of who you are, even when we feel less aware of it. God, we thank you, we praise you, and we bless you, we love you. In your son's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Okay, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Did Richard Foster name these, or is this like commonly known theology?
The names of these prayers?
Yeah. Or do you even know? I just thought of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, some of them,
like prayer of examine, like,
right,
some,
like
of them,
some of them we have Googled, yeah, right? Yeah, and you've been able to find information on them. So I would say that they're probably a more common.
Right. Okay.
Name of them. I don't think that we in most church traditions talk about them by their names, right? So that's probably where we're like, oh, huh, I didn't know that there was a prayer of the forsaken, because we don't talk about that. But I'm guessing, knowing him, that they probably come out of like tradition of the church and church fathers. And
yeah, because he does. He uses a lot of references in scripture. Because when I first saw we were doing the prayer of the forsaken, I was like, oh, we're going to pray for those that are lost, like those that don't even know God. Mm-hmm. But it's not that at all.
No.
So do you want to tell them what the prayer of the forsaken is?
Yeah, sure. The prayer of the forsaken would be the prayer that we pray in times when we feel forsaken, when we feel like God has left us. And I think that that title comes from Jesus's prayer in when he was on the cross, you know, in his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know, these moments of anguish at the end of his life where, you know, he's crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me alone? And it's just that inner cry of the soul in those periods where we cannot sense God's presence. And of course, you know, scripturally, we know that God is always present with us.
Right.
But there are seasons when he maybe removes our awareness of his presence, where we cannot clearly see him or feel him or experience him in ways that we have before. And so it's that season when those of us who have once felt a nearness to God suddenly feel like
far.
Right. Like we are wandering in the darkness and like calling out, and all we hear is an echo of our own voice. And we're not getting in return what we have in the past.
Yeah. They call that the dark night of the soul or the spiritual desert. They have there's a few different names for it, and he listed them in the book. But I know both you and I have experienced this before. And he mentions that if you have not experienced it, that someday you will
expect it.
Yeah, this is something that as Christians, we all will go through. And actually, we'll talk about this, but it actually is a grace and it is goodness of God. And I think that it's so important, like you said, to remember the truths during this, mm-hmm. that he is present, mm-hmm. that this is for our good and his glory, mm-hmm. that he is working it together. But it can feel hard.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to share? I know you've shared in previous seasons, but a little bit of your experience with this
mm-hmm.
In the past.
Yeah. So the first time that I'm really aware, I guess that I was cognizant of it, you know, it's probably possible that I went through shorter seasons of it. And maybe we'll just say that. I think all of us will experience this at some time. And some of us go through very short seasons of this where it just is kind of unsettling. And we feel like, why isn't God answering me? And we can kind of like go in and out of this. And maybe because we aren't seeking God a whole lot, we aren't even super aware of it. But then there are other seasons where we go through extended mm-hmm. periods of this dark night or of this desert of the soul. And so the first time that I really was aware and just, or that I can remember right now, so aware of crying out to God and seeking God and longing for God and just like radio silence was in the 17, 18 months preceding our move here. So 8-ish years ago. And it was a season where I have felt very distinctly that God had said to me, it was time to move on from the church where we were serving. And then it was like, just as soon as we were obedient and said, okay, we're going to move, he went quiet, like crickets, you know? And so I just, goodness, I remember so many times I would just sob in the shower yeah. and just pray and cry because that was like where I could be alone and nobody would see me. And just like, God, I do not get this. Mm-hmm. We are being obedient. You called us to go and now you're not going to talk to me. Mm-hmm. Like, what's our next step? You're just going to leave us out here to die. And that's what it felt like,
yeah.
you know? And I think like what the Israelites felt in the wilderness, like, did you just bring us out here to let us die? I completely get that because that's how I felt, was that God had just led us away from everything familiar and everything we knew. And then we had no idea where to turn.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole season, you know, we lived in the townhouse with my parents and, Paul was having a great time and felt like God was just showing up everywhere and was speaking to him and enriching him and encouraging him. And I was just, I cannot see God. I cannot hear God. He's so quiet. And I would beg him, please show me, please talk to me, please let me feel you. And I was just getting nothing. And I was so desperate and then became so almost inconsolable. Like, I don't get it, God. Mm-hmm. You've taken everything away from us and now you've taken yourself too.
Yeah. And I think when I've heard you tell that story before, especially earlier in my faith, I think I heard you do it at a women's conference. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, oh, you were having a dark night of the soul because your living situation wasn't great because mm-hmm. you had just made a big move. I didn't understand that you literally felt removed from God
mm-hmm.
and how unsettling that feeling is until now. I've gone through it as well. And for a long time too.
Mm-hmm.
And just, mm-hmm. and one of the hardest things I think about being in these seasons is not knowing when it's going to end.
Right. Right.
So you had no idea.
And having no control over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there's nothing you can do. And we've talked about this. We both will be like, okay, what can I do? I just,
right.
what if I pray harder? What if I yeah. do this and this and this?
Yeah.
And those things aren't bad in themselves, but we can't control God,
right?
Make him
right.
show up, even though he's there, but we can't make him make us aware of his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right.
hard.
Right. And that's one of, I would say the graces that Foster talks about in these seasons is that we will come to the place where we recognize that, where we understand I am not God's master. Mm-hmm. I cannot put this hoop and say, jump through it. he's not going to. And so these seasons, while it feels like God is not existent or resistant or just, why are you not listening to me? Why are you not answering my prayers? Actually, he's trying to show us more of himself and the graces that we're understanding who we are compared to who he is, mm-hmm. and that we do not control. We are not in control. And so that's so hard.
What's scary in those times is that we have such humanness to be like, you're being mean to me. Like, you don't love me. And and it opens, if you're not careful, all this space for doubt and questioning God's character. And I do think that's actually part of it most of the time, is these questions that arise. Like, why are you doing this to me? Like, I thought we had something good going here. Like, why now? And I think that's actually part of the dark night, is like, in the prayer of the forsaken, is the questioning too.
Yeah.
But we can be, I feel like it can go two ways. And it is scary that that those questions arise. I know it scared me. I was like, why? I don't want to question God ever. And I'm very much a rule follower. And so it felt like something was wrong with me. And I had never really heard someone talk about it before. And so I felt alone and like I had little faith and that I was a bad Christian. I don't know.
And I think in these seasons, even when we've gone through it, because now I've, you know, this last year I've been wandering in this place again, in this space. And once we've been through it, the next time is a little bit less daunting, because you're like, okay, I know that this season will end. I will not live in this desert forever. And you know, because you can look back and see God's presence the last time, even though you couldn't feel it then, you know he was present. And so you're like, you can live in that space of knowledge, right? Like, I know he's with me now. However, I think every time that we are in these seasons, we will go through all sorts of questions, you know, and we do, we start to doubt our faith. We start to doubt God's existence. We start to doubt our own ability to perform or to follow the rituals and the practices that we've learned, the spiritual disciplines. Like, I'm surely doing something wrong because I cannot invoke God's presence, you know? And so we ask all of those questions, and Foster would say that that's all part of it, right? We are going in this season, and part of it is such a stripping that we have to tear down all of those questions and all of those idols. We recognize that maybe we have lived in this feeling of, I can control God. And if I ask for something, I'm going to receive it. And that we've put the blessing ahead of the blesser, right? We've come to that place of saying, I'm seeking the answer rather than the one who answers.
Yeah, seeking what God can do versus God himself.
Right, right. And so when we come to this place where we're like, I have no control, I can't get an answer, I can't get a feeling, I can't get any of this, and it just feels so empty, then we stop seeking all of those other things and we just start to seek him. And we learn in that to sit in the stillness, to sit in the silence, to be okay with the darkness and the bleakness, because while we may not see it or feel it, we know that he is there.
And even if you haven't been through it before, and you will someday, even just this knowledge, I feel like, will be helpful. Because when I first started going through it, I went to my counselor and I was like, something is wrong. Like, I don't know what's happening. And I've always felt such a nearness to God. And yes, there's like days where I didn't, or moments, or even weeks probably, but this was longer, and it felt a lot more empty. And I was like, I think I'm doing something wrong, or I think I'm bad. And she was like, no, actually, we all go through it. And so that actually did make me feel better. I was like, okay, I'm not alone in this. And I think the temptation, And definitely the enemy will try to do is isolate you in this time and make you feel alone in it and make you feel like this is your fault or your faith is small or just anything really he can lie to you. And so I think it's important to say that in this time is when we have to speak the truth that we've already acquired. And you say that a lot, like we prepare on the good days for the bad days.
Right. We need to have a solid understanding of who God is so that when the quiet days come, we can trust in his character and we know who he is. You were saying about community, right? That we need community. And there are a couple of pieces of that that I think are really important to acknowledge. And the first is that we have to be cautious with the community we surround ourselves with. So we need to surround ourselves with a community that is aware and has a solid understanding of God that isn't going to be shaken when you start questioning.
Yeah.
So that they are going to be able to say, yeah, that's God has you in this place. Like he has led you into this quiet zone and it's okay. And you're going to come out of it. You know, we need people who are going to recognize that, because the flip side is that there are people out there who are going to say, you're doing something wrong. This is all on you. Snap out of it. Shake, you know, they're going to shake us and say, wake up. You're, you know, no. And so we just need to be aware that, that the people that are in our circle are also aware that there are these seasons where we're going to question and doubt and where God is going to be quiet. And it's okay if your friend is in that season. Mm-hmm. Because number one, God took them there. Number two, God is so much bigger than the questions that they're asking. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. You know, some of us, myself included, I don't like the hard seasons. I don't like when people are questioning or doubting God, because it scares me that they might walk away from their faith. And I don't want to see that happen. But I have to then trust that God is bigger than this. Mm-hmm. And that if he has taken them to this place, it's so that they can work through those doubts, they can work through those questions and come out on the other side so much stronger. And that's the grace of it, is that we know when this season is over, our faith will have just blossomed.
That was what was really encouraging to me when I brought this to my counselor, is that she was like, this is, yes, God brought you here. Mm-hmm. And it's because he wants to deepen your faith. Mm-hmm. And that was really encouraging to me. And she's like, ask the questions and helped me walk through some of them. But it is promising to know that your faith will be deepened on the other side and that there is another side.
Right.
You will not stay here forever.
Right. It doesn't feel like you're growing.
No, it doesn't. It feels like, to me, it feels like you're going backwards.
Like you're dying.
Yeah. He does say in the book to be careful that, because I am a growth person, I love moving forward. I'm like, what can we do to be better? Mm-hmm. And in that season, I'm not doing that. I'm not being better or growing. It doesn't feel like. But he says to be careful to not move backwards. So in these seasons for me, and I know you too, kind of, things that would normally just give me so much emotion and fill me with so much joy and like worship songs or sermons or podcasts, whatever it is, reading the word, prayer, quiet time, all the things don't. It doesn't feel like it fills me like it did. And so the temptation would be to stop doing them. Like, oh, well, it's not giving me that feeling that I used to get. So maybe it's doing nothing. So why spend time doing it? And I think that's really scary, because if we stop, that is when we move backwards. And so he says to sit in neutral, just to keep doing them, even though you're not feeling the growth or the good feelings that you get from them, still show up and be dull in it if you have to, but still do your disciplines. Still come to church on Sunday. Still go to life group. Still confess to your friends. It's harder. It feels like it's not as rewarding, but it really is still.
Yeah. Those are the times when obedience, I think, is most in play, Like when you don't have the external results mm-hmm. or the internal feelings and you continue to obey. I will continue to worship. I will continue to pray. I will continue to confess and meet with my group and show up. That's obedience. We are obedient in that season. And it is reaping a result, even though we cannot see it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, very common metaphor, but a seed being planted in the ground, right? And you put the seed in the ground and it enters the darkness and it is in the soil for a while. And we see nothing happening. Like there is no external knowledge that that seed is ever going to become anything, mm-hmm. but there is an inner working within it. And eventually we do see life sprout forth from that, you know, and it may take a while depending on the seed. Like some of them take a long time till we mm-hmm. see any kind of growth. So it's that same thing. Like we continue, we just have to recognize like I am in this dark season. I am being hidden away, whatever, but I'm going to keep doing those disciplines.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so, you know, just as we're talking about prayer here, it is okay in this season, as Jesus did, to say, God, why have you forsaken me? Mm-hmm. In our prayers very much may become, I don't get this. I am in a dark season. And we have so many psalms that will illustrate this, of the psalmist just saying, like, why have you hidden your face from me? There are many of them that will say things like, turn to me now, or awaken, oh God. So he's been in a season where it feels like God is asleep mm-hmm. and can't hear him. Mm-hmm. Awaken, God, awake, turn your face to me. Like, it feels like his face has been turned away.
Yeah.
So we see this so often, that David in particular is asking God, like, give me your presence again. Turn back to me.
So you're saying continue.
Right. So, and it's okay to say, like, in this season, God, please just, will you show me yourself, and don't get weary of asking that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the prayer of the forsaken, is that we keep coming in. I was telling you, like, this morning, I was laying on the floor in the auditorium on my back, looking at the vast ceiling in that room and saying, like, is that as high as my prayers are getting? Like, mm-hmm. are they just coming right back at me? Are you even listening? Which I know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I know, first of all, that God resides within me, that he is there. I know that he hears, but there are times when it feels like I have said the same thing over and over and you are giving me nothing.
Yeah.
So it's okay in those moments, even though we know the answer, to ask these questions and to say, why are you, you know, why? And, you know, and then I get up and I'm wandering the room and I'm saying, God, it's a good thing you understand me, because right now I'm questioning, like, do I have wrong motives? Is that why you're not talking to me? Mm-hmm. You know, and this is, then we start going through that whole thing. And I know the answer. I know that that's not it. But in those moments, it's good also to have that knowledge of God, mm-hmm. that we can put our trust in who God is and who we know he is. And so I can say to him, I know you know me.
It's like a whole battle, because you're like,
oh yeah,
why aren't you near me? Okay, I know you're near me. Like,
right.
Why are you not listening? I know you're listening. And it is, it's like that back and forth, but continuing to bring it to God is just so important.
Mm-hmm. And we keep preaching truth to ourselves, yes. mm-hmm. in that season.
And that's why
I don't see it, but I know.
To keep reading the word, to keep coming to church, to keep being in fellowship with others.
Right. To hear that somebody else has mm-hmm. gone through this, that we're not alone.
And I do encourage you, because it can feel shameful almost, or at least it did for me, mm-hmm. but to bring it to somebody.
Right.
Because they, yes, to the right person, of course,
yes.
but
yes.
they can help and encourage you.
Yeah.
When I was going through this, and I still kind of am, but I feel like the biggest lesson for me was that, and it's kind of funny because I pray a lot to thirst for God.
Mm.
And I read, you know, you can read that in the scriptures. But then when I didn't feel his presence like I had, mm. I've never thirsted for him more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I miss you so much. And I feel like I took his presence for granted mm-hmm. before,
mm-hmm.
because I had always, for the most part, had it with me, or at least the feeling of it with mm-hmm. me. And so when I didn't, I was like, wow, I didn't realize how blessed I was to be able to feel you like I did, or to just feel your nearness and peace. Like, God, thank you for giving me that when you did. And please again. but it made
me want it back. Yeah.
But I didn't realize it before. Right. I just felt like, oh, I get this. Until I didn't have it, I didn't even have the awareness that I was taking it for granted. So it really was a blessing to learn that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we need to make a few distinctions here too. We need to understand that when we are in these seasons, it does not mean that God is upset with us.
Right.
He does not remove himself or be quiet because we have been bad or done something wrong. It's not punishment.
And that's I feel like as humans our go-to, especially if that was the parenting style that you were raised with.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. It does not mean that you are not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So in these seasons, it's very easy for us to say, oh my goodness, like I'm not listening well. I'm not, you know, oh, my faith is not strong enough. I'm not sensitive. Therefore, I can no longer hear the Holy Spirit. So then we start blaming ourselves. And so that's not what it is. It does not mean that we have committed a terrible sin. And it does not mean that something is wrong with us. And I'm sure that we have both felt all of those things in those seasons. Now, we can also make the distinction here that there are times when we do not hear from God because of sin.
Right.
That is not the dark night of the soul. There's that is completely different. Right. So there are times when we kind of, you know, like take the phone and hang it up. Like we have cut off that connection with God because of our behavior, because we have turned from him and we're running in the wrong direction and we are seeking ourselves and our own glory and not his. And so if we are living in sin and unrepentant, we're not going to hear him the way that we have when we have been close to him and chasing after him. So it is possible that we go through periods where we're not hearing from God because of how we're living.
Mm-hmm.
That feels entirely different than this.
It does.
And it's hard to explain.
It is. I was trying to think. I was like, how do you make the distinction?
Right.
It is hard. But there's just some discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically for me, I would have a hard time feeling God when I was too busy, not making time for him, things like that. So I think one easy way would be like, am I doing the things that I know I need to be doing? Am I sitting still? Am I reading his word? Am I praying and listening?
Right.
And if you are doing all those things and you are confessing and you're still, I don't know, it just feels different, right?
Yeah, it's a dryness and we can seek and search and seek and search and just it feels quiet and it feels unsettled.
Yeah, I don't like it.
And the seasons, if you're seeking, I think that God can draw you to repentance. But if you're seeking him and not being convicted of sin, you know, like, and that's the other thing. Like, I always will be like, okay, God, if I'm in this season, I'm not hearing from him. I'm like, okay, show me
search my heart.
What am I missing? Yes. What am I missing? Like, bring it out, bring things into the light, whatever. And if you're just not getting that, or you're getting things and you're confessing and repenting and still not feeling that nearness, then
yeah,
you know, it'll help you to distinguish.
It's more of an emptiness versus a conviction feeling or I agree with you.
Yeah, it's tricky though. And it's going to look different for each of us. And there is no timetable is the other piece that we need to recognize here, is that this season may be months.
That was a little discouraging for me when I learned this.
You know, yes, it is. When you're in it and you're like, I can't control when this is going to end. And in that, then we start to strive, right? Because we're
that's my go-to.
If I just seek him harder, if I pray more, if I then I'll get out of this season sooner. And
us silly humans, that's how we think it works, and it's not.
It doesn't, and we can't control it, and we can't bring it to a close by our behavior. And I think that's part of it, is that we have to eventually surrender to it, to him, surrender to the stillness, surrender to the silence, surrender to, I feel nothing. Ugh, and it's such a bad feeling, and we just want out of it, and we have to recognize, I just have to be here.
Yeah, but it is so sanctifying.
Right.
And it did lead me to seek him like I haven't before, because he's always just there for me. Mm-hmm. And so I had this wrong understanding and view that he would, he is still there for me, and I know that we know that, but that I would always feel his presence.
Right.
And so when I didn't, I had to seek him.
Yes. But we're being stripped of all of that. And that's, I think, the other piece that's so hard for us, is that we're literally being stripped. Like, it's being stripped away from us, the feeling taken from us. And for me, these seasons have come in seasons where a lot of other things have been stripped from me as well. And so it feels like it's heaped one thing on top of another. Like, God, you've taken all of these things from me, and now you're taking your face from me too. You're taking your voice from me. You're taking your presence from me. And so it feels like such loss. And I think maybe a healthy piece of this is grieving that loss.
Yeah, that's definitely. I had that realization one night when I was rocking Porter to sleep, that I just missed him.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not have missed him if he had never turned his face. I mean, like, made it so I couldn't feel him. And I grieved that. And I was like, God, I just miss you. Like, I just need you. I just want you. But would we ever get to that place if he was like a genie that just was there every time we beck and called him?
Right. No. And it is growing faith in us, right? When we are able to call to mind the past, when we are able to call to mind the character of God that we put our trust in, and faith is being grown, because we are depending on the God that we cannot see, the God that we cannot hear, the God that we cannot control, but we know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to depend on him, even though we have no experience of him in the present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Such a deeper faith is grown in that place. But Foster says it will often take us to the place where we fear our faith will be wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
He drives us to that place where we think, I could walk away from this right now. And that is terrifying.
Yeah, I've been there, and I don't like it. It is. It's so terrifying. And it was so hard for me, because I'm like, this is my whole life. Like, I love you so much, God. Like, yeah, you just are like, what if I walk away? Like, it is. It's really scary.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to make the choice not to.
Right.
And something really helpful for me in those times was, a lot of times too, it's been in the last year that I've shared that I've been struggling with anxiety and waking up with panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I've noticed that I'm not feeling his presence too. Mm-hmm. Because I've had times where I've had anxiety and I've prayed for perfect peace, and it washes over me. Mm-hmm. But lately it has not been.
Mm-hmm.
What's helpful is reminding myself of the times that he does.
Mm.
Like, he is here. He has shown you that he cares about you. He's shown you he loves you. He's shown you his power. And just reminding myself of those times that he really has shown up for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy for the enemy to attack me in the night and be like, see, he doesn't care.
Right.
Yeah. And then so I talk back. I'm like, yes, he does. Remember?
Right. Yeah. But because you have formulated your theology of God on the good days, then on the hard days, you have it to draw from. You have it to rely upon. And so you continue to put your trust in the one who has proven himself faithful to you in the past, even though right now you don't see his faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. And I don't get from him what I want, which is peace, which is his presence. And so it's just, it does, it takes you to the place of wanting God for God and not what he gives you.
And that's hard because we know that he is good and we know that he loves us and wants to give us good things. And we know that he is the source of all peace. And it would be so easy for him to give you peace in that moment. And that's so hard to sit in that knowledge.
Yeah, it makes me mad sometimes when I'm like in that
attack. Can.
Yeah. Like, hey, yeah, give it to me. I know you
could
can.
Right now. You could right now give me that peace and you're choosing not to. And then we have to turn to the knowledge of if you're choosing not to, I have to believe it is for my good. What are you up to?
Yeah. You know,
like, what are you doing? I don't get it. But I'm going to keep.
But I'm going to keep trusting you and I'm going to show up even though those feelings aren't there. Mm-hmm. Even, I mean, you said this earlier, but in marriages or friendships or really a lot of relationships, us as humans, when that feeling goes away, that's when we leave. Right. That's when a lot of marriages fall apart. It's like, I just don't feel in love anymore.
Right.
And it's choosing to stay.
Yes.
And to continue to work at that relationship. Even when the feelings aren't there, that make a successful marriage or relationship.
Right. Right. What I thought to be true of you, I'm not seeing right now. So therefore, my feelings towards you are changing. But when we talk about God who is unchanging, you know, then we have to go back and say, but this is what I know. And I'm going to choose to keep living out of my knowledge. Even though right now that's not my experience and not my feeling. I think that is a big piece of this is feeling.
Yeah, I agree.
We don't feel maybe anything at all. It's a very numb feeling.
That is. It's an empty feeling. That's how I would describe it, is empty, numb. Yeah. But I mean, even like in the times that my marriage has been through things like that, at the end, oh, yes. Okay. So there was one year that was really hard for us. We went through a lot of hard things and I would not have chosen to walk through any of them. They sucked. But at the end of the year, I was sweeping and I just found myself crying and thanking God for those times because we kept choosing each other, Stephen and I, and our relationship had completely changed for the better. And I kind of think that it is... He did. He stripped Steven and I away of everything that we had previously thought, but he replaced it with better thinking, better love even, that was more like him. And I think that's what he does in this too, is he does, he strips it away. But when you come back, when you feel his presence again, it's different and it's better. Like you're like,
right,
thank you. I needed this.
Right. Think about the puppy love stage,
right,
in a relationship and the feelings, and then you fall out of those feelings because there's a maturing that takes place, and then love becomes a choice.
Yeah.
And I'm going to choose to love you, and that's a lot what this is. I think you're absolutely right. Like, I don't feel it right now, God, at all. I don't feel it. I don't see it. But I'm going to choose to love you. And doesn't that love, I mean, it means so much more when it's not deepens. Based on feeling. Right?
I think it deepens.
It's a more deliberate, but a more meaningful love when it isn't based on what I'm getting in return or that feeling that I have. And so that's what this is, you know, when I was saying about this is very much obedience, you know, Jesus tells us, if you love me, you will obey me. And maybe that's part of what's being grown in us is a deeper love through obedience when the feeling is no longer there.
Yeah. I think that is so right.
But just like in a marriage, it is work and it is hard. And when you long for that and you're not seeing it reciprocated, right? That's where a lot of marriages break down. And
you want the release from it when you're in that. I mean, speaking from experience, both from the dark night of the soul and a hard year in marriage, you want, you're like, okay, I want to give up now. I want to be free from this. This is hard.
It seems easier.
Yeah, it does. It seems easier, but seems the truth is it's not.
Right.
But it is more immediate, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. And it probably is easier mm-hmm. In the moment.
Yeah. Right.
To give up and walk away. Mm-hmm. But long term, mm-hmm. so much damage is done.
Right. And struggling through always, mm-hmm. always when life is harder. And we struggle through, we come out stronger.
More resilient.
Right.
See our last season of Looking Above.
It's all interconnected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think what we want today is, number one, to encourage anyone who is in this season or who has been in this season, will come upon this season, mm-hmm. that this is normal. It's sanctifying. It is God's grace to us, even though it will very much feel like punishment. Mm-hmm. And that if you are not in this season, this is your time to establish your foundation.
Yes.
This is your time to build your life on the rock. You said this earlier, in these seasons, even though we know we're built on the rock, it feels like we're on shaky ground. Mm-hmm. And so we have to build our life on the rock. We have to establish our trust in Jesus. We have to establish our trust in who God is and know his character and make that not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, right? We have to seek him and experience him and know the stories of scripture so that we can say that same God who did X, Y, and Z in the Bible, he is my God right now. And I know who he is because I have seen what he has done throughout history and my history. So we establish that. So if you aren't in this season, now is your time to dive into him, chase after him. Do not rest on things are going good. So I don't need God right now. Mm-hmm. Danger, danger, danger. Because when life falls apart or when you get to this season,
you need that solid foundation.
Yes.
And those relationships. Yes. Establish yes. those relationships within the church too. Because those are so important, mm-hmm. because it does feel lonely and isolating, but mm-hmm. doesn't have to.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think we should end with prayer today.
Okay.
I want to pray over those that are currently in this season, because okay. we know how hard it is and how isolating it may be. And so for anyone who is watching this, I think we just need to pray some encouragement yeah. over them and over their hearts in this season.
Okay.
Okay. Holy God, we praise you and bless you for who you are, for the God that we know you are, for the God that we have seen throughout history, the God that we have seen throughout our lives. God, we know that you are good. We know that you are near to us. We know that you love us, and we know that you are working all things, even these seasons, together for our good and for your glory. God, we come into these seasons and feelings leave us, and it seems that your presence is gone. We can't see you. We can't feel you. We don't hear you the way we once did. And it is extremely disconcerting, Lord. It feels like being in a pitch black room with no bearings and no idea of how to get out or which way to turn. And we just stumble in the darkness, calling out and hearing nothing but our own voice, God. For those that are in this season right now, Lord, I pray that there would be some sense of encouragement, having heard our words today, just in knowing that they're not alone, in knowing that they are not experiencing something foreign or unheard of, but this is something that so many saints before them have gone through. Mm-hmm. Help their spirit to be bolstered in that knowledge, God. And we pray that you would give us strength and fortitude to keep turning to you, even when we don't see you, that you would give us the courage to keep pressing into our disciplines and continue to be obedient, even when we're not seeing the fruit of our actions and behaviors, that we would continue to place our trust in the God we know you to be, even when we aren't experiencing those characteristics and those traits in the present. God, give us the ability to weather the storm, to continue to move forward through the desert, to not lose hope. God, help us to understand that you are a God who cannot be tamed, who cannot be bossed around, who cannot be mastered. You are our master, Lord, and help us to sit under these times of silence, maybe just like a child who isn't being punished, but who knows that their parent knows what's best. Mm-hmm. And even though we don't like the parent's answer, we have to put our trust in our parents' knowledge right now, God. So we just put our trust in you, and we ask that you continue to do your sanctifying work in us, even when we don't understand. God, you are so good and you are so loving, and you are working in these seasons. Help us to believe that truth. Help us to come to the end of ourselves and to come to a new and deeper knowledge of you as we're stripped of feelings and experiences that we once held so dear and thought were so important. Help us to hold only you as precious in our hearts, Lord. Help us to want nothing else but you, not experiences, not feelings, just you, God, and help us to trust that that's what we'll get. Lord, for all those that are struggling today, I pray hope in their lives. I pray peace in their lives. Lord, we can ask you for all of these things because of the shed blood of your Son, because of the light of Christ, because of the peace of Christ, because of the power of Christ in our lives. Thank you. It's in his name.
Amen. Yes, that was good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So we hope that this was encouraging to you today. If you are in this season or for the future, keep this knowledge in your back pocket. But we do want to remind you, as always, to keep looking above.